I think you'll agree that these are profoundly strange stories. In the first instance, the officer appears to be describing something that is quite impossible. How can someone watch his bullets hit someone? Just as strange is the second man's claim not to have heard the sound of his gun going off. How can that be? Yet, in interviews with police officers who have been involved with shootings, these same details appear again and again. Extreme visual clarity, tunnel vision, diminished sound, and the sense that time is slowing down. This is how the human body reacts to extreme stress, and it makes sense. Our mind, faced with a life-threatening situation, drastically limits the range and amount of information that we have to deal with. Sound and memory and broader social understanding are sacrificed in favor of heightened awareness of the threat directly in front of us. In a critical sense, the police officers whom Klinger describes perform better because their sense is narrowed. That narrowing allowed them to focus on the threat in front of them. But what happens when this stress response is taken to an extreme? Dave Grossman, a former Army lieutenant colonel and the author of On Killing, argues that the optimal state of arousal, the range in which stress improves performance, is when our heart rate is between 115 and 145 beats per minute. Grossman says that when he measured the heart rate of champion marksman Ron Avery, Avery's pulse was at the top of that range when he was performing in the field. The basketball superstar Larry Bird used to say that at critical moments in the game, the court would go quiet and the players would seem to be moving in slow motion. He clearly played basketball in that same optimal range of arousal in which Ron Avery performed. But very few basketball players see the court as clearly as Larry Bird did, and that's because very few people play in that optimal range. Most of us, under pressure, get too aroused, and past a certain point, our bodies begin shutting down so many sources of information that we start to become useless. After 145, Grossman says, bad things begin to happen. Complex motor skills start to break down. Doing something with one hand and not the other becomes very difficult. At 175, we begin to see an absolute breakdown of cognitive processing. The forebrain shuts down, and the midbrain, the part of your brain that's the same as your dog's, all mammals have that part of the brain, reaches up and hijacks the forebrain. Have you ever tried to have a discussion with an angry or frightened human being? You can't do it. You might as well try to argue with your dog. Vision becomes even more restricted. Behavior becomes inappropriately aggressive. In an extraordinary number of cases, people who are fired upon void their bowels because at the heightened level of threat represented by a heart rate of 175 and above, the body considers that kind of physiological control a non-essential activity. Blood is withdrawn from our outer muscle layer and concentrated in core muscle mass. The evolutionary point of that is to make the muscles as hard as possible, to turn them into a kind of armor and limit bleeding in the event of injury. But that leaves us clumsy and helpless. Grossman says that everyone should practice dialing 911 for this very reason, because he has heard of too many situations where, in an emergency, people pick up the phone and cannot perform this most basic of function. With their heart rate soaring and their motor coordination deteriorating, they dial 411 and not 911 because that's the only number they remember. Or they forget to press send on their cell phone. Or they simply cannot pick out the individual numbers at all. You must rehearse it, Grossman says, because only if you have rehearsed it will it be there. This is precisely the reason that many police departments in recent years have banned high-speed chases. It's not just because of the dangers of hitting some innocent bystander during the chase, although that is clearly part of the worry, since about 300 Americans are killed accidentally every year during chases. It's also because of what happens after the chase, since pursuing a suspect at high speed is precisely the kind of activity that pushes police officers into this dangerous state of high arousal. The LA riot was started by what cops did to Rodney King at the end of the high-speed chase, says James Fife, head of training for the NYPD, who has testified in many police brutality cases. The Liberty City riot in Miami in 1980 was started by what cops did at the end of a chase. They beat a guy to death. In 1986, they had another riot in Miami based on what cops did at the end of the chase. Three of the major race riots in this country over the past quarter century had been caused by what cops did at the end of a chase.